आप हैं SBS हिंदी के साथ।
थैंक यू फॉर टॉकिंग टू अस ऑन SBS हिंदी टुडे। वी रियली अप्रिशिएट इट। You've been member for Bruce for nearly 5 years now. Your electorate has one of the highest proportion of people that speak a language other than English, and it also has a large Indian community presence. So you must be quite familiar with our culture and people. Any Hindi words for our listeners today?
Namaste. Aap kaise ho?
That was really good. Maybe we should switch this whole interview to Hindi.
I think that'd be a little bit challenging. It'd be a very short interview.
We will start with asking you to share your thoughts on the Australian vaccination program. Currently, we have less than 20% fully vaccinated people aged 16 and above in Australia. At this rate, how long do you think it'll take us to go to what is known as the other side of the crisis?
Look, it's a dreadfully serious situation the country faces now. We have millions of people in lockdowns. People are desperate to get the vaccination, and the country is vulnerable to death and disease until we get this back on track. The Prime Minister had two jobs this year. He said it himself at the start of the year: a safe quarantine and vaccinations, and he's failed on both. It really is disgraceful. There's no excuse that we're near last in the developed world and 78th in the world for our vaccination program. For a country with as many resources as Australia, this is just not good enough. He didn't order enough vaccines, and he failed to order 4 to 6 different types of vaccines, as the experts had advised. So there's a long way to go. I would hope that the Prime Minister's latest plan — he's had multiple plans, 4 or 5 different plans over the last 5 months. He's missed more than 20 of his own targets for vaccinations. But like every Australian, I hope that this latest plan he stops failing on and gets us vaccinated by the end of the year.
So our Prime Minister did not agree to Labor's idea to give the $300 cash payments to get vaccinated. He said easing of restrictions should be the primary incentive. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's clear that once the government eventually gets enough vaccines — and remember, the Prime Minister spent all year telling us it's not a race. We do know now it is a race to save lives and livelihoods and be able to safely open up the country. But it's clear that the government will need to do more to speed up the vaccine program and to encourage people to get the vaccine. We know from research that about 25% of Australians are vaccine hesitant, including many in multicultural communities. Right across the board, there's people who are concerned. Now, the government hasn't put in an education campaign, and they've especially failed to get the message out in multiple languages. I commend SBS on the good work that SBS has been doing in communicating in different languages, including Hindi. But the Prime Minister's own plan acknowledges that there's going to need to be incentives for people. Hence Labor's positive, constructive suggestion of a simple cash payment. The quicker we get this done, the better our economy can recover. And I note also that India is offering incentives. I've heard of incentives for whole villages to get vaccinated, mobile phone SIM cards and rice. Other countries are looking at incentives, and Australia should too.
With due respect, there is actually no concrete evidence to suggest that offering cash rewards to get jabs works, even though some countries have tried giving targeted incentives, including India, as you mentioned. If anything, research shows that financial incentives are known to discourage people from getting vaccines, those people who think they're already doing the right thing. And how is that going to help our national debt?
Well, a couple of points on that. There has actually been expert advice and suggestions reported in the last couple of days in the media that incentives, including cash incentives, could well be a powerful motivator. Yeah. I note the Prime Minister's policy around no jab, no play in relation to childcare is effectively an incentive policy for people to get vaccinated. Mm-hmm. And we think this is a positive suggestion. On the point of cost, I'll make this very simple point. If the Prime Minister had rolled out the vaccine, and if he put in a safe national quarantine system, we wouldn't be in this mess, bleeding billions of dollars every week from the national economy, adding billions of dollars to the national debt. So the cost of a cash incentive payment, which, remember, would be a stimulus to the economy as well, which we're going to need more of, would be about $6 billion all up. That is nothing compared to the amount of money that we're losing through the slow, failed vaccine rollout. So if this idea can help get us back on track, it's actually a positive investment.
So let me put it this way. According to surveys, the number one reason for Australians not getting vaccinated, which is a non-medical reason, is that they felt they didn't have to because borders were shut. And on the other hand, the borders were shut because not enough people were getting vaccinated. So what is important for building confidence in this vaccine program?
Certainly there was a sense of complacency, but I think a lot of that sense of complacency sat, if you like, with the 75% of people who were quite happy to get vaccinated, but just weren't in a hurry to do so. Remembering, as I said, the Prime Minister kept telling us it's not a race, whereas it always was a race. We do know from the research that around 25% of people are vaccine hesitant or concerned in some way. There's a very small percentage of people who are firmly opposed, but it's the larger percent, maybe 15, 20% of people who we really need to encourage. So in terms of building confidence, as you say, that will need incentives. Mm-hmm. We'll need to look at potentially some restrictions down the track. The international vaccine passport seemed to be a direction that the world is heading in. I think it's far too early to look at punishing people when they haven't even had the opportunity to get the jab. But we also need proper information. I can't stress this enough. There's been too much misinformation spread on social media in all countries, in all languages. But here in Australia, the government has failed to put a proper public education campaign out and put the incentives and the work behind that. That well-known Australian, Clive Palmer, has been flooding people's letterboxes with misleading information, and that's allowed the vaccine hesitant group to grow because there hasn't been proper information. So in answer to your question, we need better information, we need more availability of the vaccine, that sense of urgency that's now building with Delta spreading, but we also do need to look at incentives perhaps other motivations down the track.
Let's now focus on things that have resonated a lot within our community. According to DFAT, just recently, there are 47,000 Australians who are stranded overseas, out of which 36,000 wish to come back home. Many of them are from India, and India is still, as you know, a high-risk destination. Do you think repatriation is being handled well at the moment?
Absolutely not. There's been thousands of Australians just abandoned and forgotten by this government. Over 35,000 Australians right now are desperate to come home. We know that by October there'll be another 2,000 or 3,000 on top of that who've already notified the government. 18 months into this pandemic, and Mr Morrison still has not set up a safe national quarantine system. Now remember, he promised last Christmas that he'd have all stranded Australians home. Another broken promise. The hotel quarantine system has been leaking into the community. If 12 months ago he'd built a safe national system, we would not be in this situation. Now, I know it's particularly devastating to people from India who are separated from family. I help so many people in my office every week, desperately trying to work out how they can get their loved ones, their children, their partners and others back home. The Labor leader suggested private aircraft need to play a role because commercial aircraft are not taking younger children, which is a huge problem with families and children separated. And we're also concerned about price gouging, that people are being ripped off. So the government has unconscionably abandoned our own citizens. I know also I was very concerned about some of the racially inappropriate language that had been used previously, saying, oh, well, Indians have been abandoned. You know, these people are our citizens. They're Australians first and foremost from our perspective, perhaps of Indian origin, and they need to be treated like every other Australian. It really just highlights the failure on vaccines and quarantine.
You've been very vocal about this issue and critical of the government's lack of empathy. But Premier Daniel Andrews and Labor Party called for the number to be cut in half after the state endured a long second wave last year following hotel quarantine failures. At the moment, there is no purpose-built quarantine facility for these people in Victoria. So what solution is there for thousands that are stuck endlessly on a state level?
Well, we need to be very clear that quarantine is a federal responsibility. Mm-hmm. It's in the Constitution. There have been 27 leaks from hotel quarantine. Mr Morrison has to own this. Now, at the start of the pandemic, it made sense as an emergency response that the states would pitch in and help out. And also, little was known about the virus, remember, over 12 months ago. But now, 18 months into the pandemic, there is no excuse that the federal government has failed to do its constitutional responsibility and build a purpose-built quarantine system. I was the first to be concerned about those cuts to the arrival caps agreed by National Cabinet, I'd note. But I do understand that premiers ultimately are there to protect and speak up for the interests of the people living in their state and the community. It's the national government that has to take that bigger picture to manage the borders, to manage the quarantine system, and make sure that it's fit for purpose to bring all Australians home. Mr Morrison cannot duck the responsibility that he has under the Constitution for this and do what he always tries to do and shift blame to state premiers. He owns this and he needs to come up with a solution. We can't just kick the can down the road, as they say, for another 12 months. We need a better solution now. Now, the federal government has had multiple proposals sitting on their desks that they've refused and failed to fund, from Queensland, from other states, to build purpose-built quarantine quickly near regional airports, near hospital facilities. It's up to them to explain why they've failed to do this.
Time is short, so I'll ask you one last really important question, and it's about international students. Australia has seen a drastic fall in the overall number of international students enrolled in its universities this year. We are at great risk of losing out as students have started looking at other countries. Communities and local businesses are also feeling the impact because international students form a major part of their workforce. Why is Victoria behind in offering a cautious and phased out entry for international students? Why is there no talk of, like you just said earlier, purpose-built quarantine facility for them? Both South Australia and New South Wales have got their plans approved and they're likely to go ahead if they didn't have the situation for COVID. But why is Victoria, which is the hugest international student industry, make more efforts to get students back?
I love international education. Before I was in the parliament, I actually worked in Victoria in international education, and people always talk about the contribution it makes to the economy. That's true, absolutely. But international students enrich our country. They've become great migrants, many of them over time, and make our cities more vibrant. And we should be welcoming young people. I'll make two points. Continuing the message, it's the truth. The Prime Minister told students to go home. He made them feel unwelcome. He blamed them for congestion. I wish I knew when they could come back safely. Now, different states and territories have at different times proposed pilots. The Victorian government has also been in discussions, I understand, as most states and territories have. But ultimately, it comes back to the same problem. There is not enough safe, purpose-built quarantine. And remember, if the federal government had acted over 12 months ago, we would have had the stranded Australians back and we'd have far more capacity in our quarantine system, both for families to be reunited and for at least some of the students to come back. The final point I'd just make and put a call out, this really is important. There are also many student graduates, 485 visa graduates, who are stranded offshore. I've really been calling on the government to do the right thing by those graduates, to honour the promise that Australia made to them, and promise that when the borders can safely reopen, that they will honour that promise and allow them to come back and have their 2 years of post-study work rights and have their fair chance at life in Australia. That's a promise we as a country made to people, and it's hugely important to the Indian community that that promise is kept.
You are still co-chair of the Parliamentary Friends of International Education?
I am, and I founded that group along with my friend and co-chair from the other side of politics, another Julian Lesser from New South Wales. We're both big supporters of international education. It's a wonderful thing for Australia. And, you know, I dearly look forward to the day when we can welcome students back safely into the country.
You've been very generous with your time. I thank you so much for today.
Dhanyavaad.
ऐसी ही और कहानियाँ सुनना चाहते हैं एप्पल पॉडकास्ट गूगल पॉडकास्ट स्पॉटिफाई या फिर जहाँ आप पॉडकास्ट सुनते हैं वहाँ हम हैं।